Greetings, everybody. Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight, right here on WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel around the world, ladies and gentlemen. And we're so delighted to have you in here tonight because we've got a great program for you. We're going to actually start a new series tonight, and that series is going to be on the role of a woman, a virtuous woman. Now, the Bible talks about a virtuous woman and who can find a virtuous woman. So, we're going to do our search tonight in hoping that we can find the evidence to inform. You know, the Bible said we're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And so then sometimes when people ain't conforming to the Word, it's not really their fault, so to speak, because they can't hear. Now, the Bible said, how can you hear without a preacher? And how can he preach except he be sent? Faith comes by hearing. So we're going to give you some faith gestalt-based scriptures. And what this is going to do, it's going to enhance your ability to be, if you're a woman, a virtuous woman. And then we're going to do a series on a man, what it takes to be a virtuous woman. Actually, it's what it takes to be a man. And a man that knows the truth and wants the truth and wants to obey Yahweh. Well, that's all he's got to do is come on board with the Bible and know that the Bible is for correction. The Bible is for instruction. Now, if the Bible is for instruction, that a man of Yahweh or a woman of Yahweh, in this case tonight we're going to focus on the role of a virtuous woman. Now, the scriptures that we're going to use are based throughout the Bible. I'm amazed of the scriptures that indicate the instruction to make a virtuous woman. Now, we're talking about someone that is virtuous in her heart, and her heart is stayed upon Yahweh. And we gave you the divine order. Yahweh is the first. Man is second, and a woman is third, and then the children are fourth. Now, that corresponds with the Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh, Yahweh and the Yod being the action figure, and then the Wah, or the He, being the man, and the Wah, and then the He again being the offspring, with the Wah being the woman. Now, here's what we've got to look at in the aspects of the divine order. And that's what we're going to try to do, is set you up a divine order that you may know the truth. Now, the Bible said the truth will make you free. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12, let's get into the scriptures. And we're going to base tonight the scriptures from the text of Proverbs 31. We're going to go into Proverbs 31 and we're going to discuss the aspects. Probably in part two I'll get to the book of Proverbs. We're going to start tonight in Isaiah chapter 3 verse 12. Now, if you have your scriptures and you have your Bible, you have your notes and your pen, well, let's get into Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12 to start the foundation. As for my people. Now, it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people. So he loves his people. He loves his man, and he loves the women of the man. In other words, they two shall be one, their flesh. And we're going to really give you some groundbreaking revelations of how the Father sees a marriage. Now, the Bible says, whatever Yahweh has joined together. Now, not what the preacher has joined together, not what the church has sanctioned, and not what the courthouse license department has sanctioned. What Yahweh has sanctioned. And we're going to give you some, in some cases, ground-shaking revelations on what the Messiah did in the fourth chapter of John. He met a certain woman at the well. It was Jacob's well. And she inquired about the salvation. And the Messiah, who was very knowledgeable in this ancient teaching, and this is the ancient teaching, by the way, and the Bible, and yet women's liberation, basically, it's a shame how that they got away from the aspects of the divine covenant and the revelations. And you may say, well, why, Pastor Buddy, has man got away from the aspects of the divine revelations? Well, it's very simple. And if I could give you the first seven things for a wife to do, and I'm going to start in, this is the seventh thing, but I'm going to start seven and then come up the scale because it increases. A woman should be nag-free. You know, a nagging woman is like a continuous dripping, the Bible says. And if you are nagged free, your husband is going to love you for that. Because if you criticize him and you're always nagging about something, then he's going to get very discouraged. And you see, ladies and gentlemen, a woman is a helpmeet. She's not to discourage her husband. And the sixth thing is to be very supportive. That brings it into focus. And the sixth thing, well, see, six is a number of man. And man, like I say, is number two in the divine order of the creation and the four aspects. And if you look at the proposition of the four aspects, earth, wind, water, and fire, that's the four elements. Well, man was made from the earth on the eighth day. What made on the seventh day, ladies and gentlemen? And so the Sabbaths are designed for you to rest on the eighth day when Yahweh created you. He created you to enter into His rest. And so after the seventh day, everybody says, well, He rested on the seventh day. But if you go to the Bible, you'll see that Adam was not made from the dust of the earth as a mineral product of the earth, the composition makeup of him. He was made on the eighth day. And this is what we're talking about. Be very supportive. Now, what does it mean to be supportive? If you belittle your man, or you won't help him to feel good about himself, or his job, or his activities, sometimes man, it's hard to make a living in this day and time. Harder probably now than it ever was, and yet we're in the most affluent society that's probably ever existed. And so you need to be supportive of whatever direction he goes for the household. Now, number five. Five is a number of grace. Build your man up. And you ladies know that there's no quicker way. And they say the way to a man's heart is through his stomach, and that's not true. If you build your man up and be a supportive of him, and you be his number one fan, and so to speak, that gives him encouragement. And there's no quicker way to build resentment if you are always criticizing him. So you don't want to criticize your man. And this is what will bring about number four. And the number four thing for a woman to do is keep him happy, especially in the bedroom. Because man is physical, and he needs this. It's a psychological thing, but he reacts to it physical. Men are from Mars, and that's the war planet, and women are from Venus, and as they say, that's the love planet, and they're emotional. They have to have an emotional reason for keeping their man happy in the bedroom. But unfortunately, many women underestimate the importance of having this man's needs met. Often it's the basic differences in women and men that I just explained that will keep you away from keeping him happy. So, number four, keep him happy. Number three, respect. A good wife will try to treat her man with respect. Now, a man knows when you're putting on, too. So if you ain't got no respect for him, you ain't going to get no respect on down the line. A man will take it and take it and take it until he gets fed up with it, and then he'll walk. And then he'll tear apart whatever he's built. It's his. He tears it apart. Now, so respect that man. Now, you don't have to be a rubber stamp for him, whatever he wants. No, you're like Sarah. And Sarah, she called Abraham Lord or Master. And the Bible said she worshipped Abraham. And she respected him, although she disagreed with him in some points. And Yahweh sided on her side. So if Yahweh's in the mix, and you've got a man that loves Yahweh, and you love Yahweh, and you respect your husband, then you've got a right to be respectfully disagreeing with him at times. And that's counsel. Don't criticize him, and don't nag about it, but be supportive in your constructive criticism. And then just don't let him go wrong when you tell him something and he won't listen to you. And then say, well, see, I told you so. That's not right. If he makes a mistake, let him learn from it. And yet be supportive and say, well, you know, we talked this over and you didn't agree. And so you tried it your way. And so see, in the multitude of counsel, there's safety. A man at times, he needs, you know, I mean, he just goes in there and starts working on a project, and he don't think about things. So you need to spend some time thinking. And the number two thing on the item, as we get to the top of the list here and the seven things, is communicate. Ironically, good communication between men and women can be quite frustrating, as you very well know, if you're in a relationship. So, communicate. Talk to your husband. Don't talk down, but talk up through respect. And look at him and admire him and encourage him and be supportive. Don't nag. That's the seventh thing. Now, the number one thing that I want to remind you is to be pleasant. Work toward being pleasant towards your husband. Don't be one of those people who makes everyone around you feel bad just because you've had a hard day. Don't take it out. If you're having a hard day, talk to him about it and tell him. And then he would understand your resentment or your snapping at him or your short word. Be pleasant. And that's what you've got to do to be a virtuous woman. Now, let's go to the Scriptures and prove exactly the seven things that we've laid the gestalt on. Let's go into the Scriptures and really look at what it takes
for man to become a part of the system of Yahweh. Now, let's look at the role of this woman according to scriptures. Again, Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee. Now, who's the people lead you? Most of the time it's your children or your wife. Women rule over them, and children are the oppressors. O my people, they that lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of the paths. You see, you are number one on the totem pole with Yahweh being your covering. Man is woman's covering, and the woman is the covering for the children because they're part of her. And she's supposed to rule her house well. Well, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, verse 11 through 11. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and severity, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. Now this is the word of Yahweh. And if you have a problem with that, sister, if you want to wrestle against that, you've got a problem. You haven't been submitted to your husband. If you're always nagging and arguing the points, going your way, spending more at the hairdresser, and more time doing your nails, and that's important for you to look good, because it makes your man appreciate you, and he should support you in looking good. However, if you spend more time trying to look good than you do being good, that's going to create a problem down the road for your marriage. So if you want a good marriage and you want to keep a good man happy, then take it to heart. Everywhere that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Now, what's modest? With shamefacedness. What's the shamefacedness about? It's your original sin, your mother, Eve. She sinned, and you bleed once a year to remind yourself of that sin. And ladies and gentlemen, every time you visit a graveyard, that sin manifests itself. When you bury one of your children or one of your loved ones, you must know that it was a woman that caused that. She got out of line. And we're going to prove to you why she got out of line, because she's a weaker vessel. And I know I'm going to get some ERA on that. But notice this, in 1 Timothy in chapter 3, verse 14. Paul said, these things I write unto you, hoping to come unto you shortly. But if I tarry, that thou mayest know how that thou oughtest to behave thyself in the fellowship of Yahweh, or in the house of God, it says in the King James here, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Now, what follows are Yahweh's instructions for a woman functioning in the formal services of the local church that she belongs to, or the congregation that she belongs to. And the Bible said, fail not to assemble yourselves. We're commanded three times a year to assemble. Now, if you can make that journey, and you fail to make that journey, then you've got a divided house. If your husband makes that journey and you don't make it, you've got a divided house, and eventually the house is going to fall, simply because you're not in subjection to 1 Timothy 3:14. How to behave yourself in the house, or in the commitments that Yahweh has commanded you to appear before Him as it says here, in the ground of truth. Let the woman learn in silence. Now that's two times, 1 Timothy 2:8 and 1 Timothy 3:14, that it says for a woman to learn, let the woman learn. That means that she don't know it all. That means that she's not the head. That means that she has to submit. And I know this is hard on the modern Western woman. The Eastern women, if you read your Bible, they were very devoted to their husbands. Even today in the old country, they still keep their faces covered. And that was a tradition of the veil that went back in the days of the apostles, even then. It was still when Rebekah, when she saw the servant that went to get her for Isaac, when she saw Isaac sitting in the field waiting for his wife, or his, the one that was submitted to him, she donned her veil. And then she ran to meet him. And Isaac was well pleased with Rebekah, because she was subject to her husband, Isaac. These are the old customs, ladies and gentlemen, and Paul's picking up on it here in 1 Timothy 3:14-15 and 2:11 and verse 15. Notice this. I suffer not a woman to teach. Now, what does that mean? She's supposed to teach her children at home to be good caretakers of the home. And you see, a woman sets the example for the children. The mother is the nurturer, and the children are all subject to her. And if she's subject to her husband, then everything's in order. But if she's against what the husband does, then the children pick that up, and it's something psychological that they know that the house is out of order. And the first thing you know, they lose respect for both of you, the man and the woman, if they see that the children have their way, or the wife is not supportive of the husband. Then you're going to have what is called a rebellious house, and that's not a virtuous woman's role. A virtuous woman should build her house with her own hands. And she should teach the children. And yet, most of them want to come to church and teach the men. That's the men's job to do. That's their responsibility. And you're not supposed to take authority. Now, it don't say silence here. It says silence. It says silence, not silent. A woman can speak. A woman can request. If she's with her husband, the husband will speak for her. And if there's, she needs a ministering to, and it was common for the women to come up to the priest in the Bible days, it was common for the women to seek out the Messiah, and he ministered to their needs, and they ministered to his needs. And it's a two-way street here. However, it says, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usher up authority over the man, but to be in silence. A woman cannot teach with authority. Whether it's Sunday school classes, Bible conferences, when a woman stands before a mixed crowd that includes men and opens the Bible and preaches or teaches, she's taking authority. And there's none given to her in the Bible. She's supposed to be in subjection under her husband and let the husband speak. Well, we're going to get just a little bit further on that. And you say, oh, Pastor Buddy, I can see right now, you're against women. Oh, no. Not by a country mile am I against women, ladies and gentlemen. I know that Yahweh loves women. Now, he gave Adam a help meet, but she became known as woman. And the reason why is because Yahweh knew that since she was a byproduct of man, that she would be a weaker vessel. And by being a weaker vessel, she was beguiled by the serpent. And, like I say, and then the graveyard started filling up. The undertaker started embalming people and cremating people, whatever they do. The hospital started filling up. It's a mess. All because of a weaker vessel. And so Yahweh hadn't forgot that. He reminds you every month if you're still on your period. Now, let's say that you've passed your time of a period and you are a widow. Well, the Bible says if you are a widow under 60 years, that's 60, that's 60 years, for you to marry, remarry, because you'll wax woman. And so I know some people that have lived and raised families and went through a living hell and then finally met someone who was comfortable to them and had the same problem like deceased spouses or whatever, or divorced, and they came together and they're happy as can be. They found someone that's compatible. And remember what I said, marriages are not made on the earth. I don't care how many children you have. They're not made at the courthouse. I don't care how many children you have. I know it looks bad in the world, but it looked bad in the fourth chapter of the book of John when the Messiah told the woman, she said, Yahweh, oh man, I'm amazed. I perceive that you're a prophet. Well, just tell me what I need to do. And he said, well, go call your husband. See, Yahweh recognized the divine order. He wasn't going to tell her what to do. It was the husband's place to hear the matter. But here's what she said. I have no husband. And guess what he said? You have well said you have no husband because you've had five. And the one that you're with now is not your husband. That's what he said. Now, I know that's shocking. And a lot of people won't preach on this. The churches are, you know, they shy away from this revelation. But marriages is only honorable in Yahweh. I don't care how long you've been married, how many children you've got. If it's not sanctioned in heaven, you ain't got a wife or you ain't got a husband, wherever the case may be. You don't have one. You may have a mate. And you may be sharing life together, but you, in the bottom of your heart, you ain't happy. And you're not free. And you can't worship spiritually because Yahweh's not sanctioned it as legal. Because he said, whatever Yahweh has joined together, let not man put asunder. And marriage is only honorable in Yahweh. Now, let me get that scripture again. We'll get around to it here in a minute in 1 Corinthians. Marriage is only honorable in Yahweh. Now, I just quoted you about the widow woman and the ordinance. Well, let me go to and let me get it in here for you. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 9 through 14. Listen to me. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 60 years old. That's a score is 20. That's 60 years old. Having been the wife of one man. Well reported of for good works. If she's brought up children. And you know what that comprises. If she's brought them up and trained them. If she has lodged strangers. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's some women that just don't want to be bothered with the people visiting. And my home has been an open door ever since I've been in ministry. I've took in strangers, rich, poor, bond, free. It doesn't matter. You don't have no respect of persons when it comes to hospitality and being in the service of Yahweh. And I know a lot of people will rub you wrong and get on your nerves. And, you know, the Bible said if you go off and to visit your friends, you're going to wear your neighbor. Don't do that. And people that are really sincere and sensitive ain't going to do that. Man, I hate to go and impose on anybody. Even when I'm invited to a place, I still feel. But when I come into a place where I receive warmth, and they you know it's out of the heart that they receive it, and they appreciate you coming, and you don't stay too long, I always try to get away before I wear my welcome out. And that's wonderful. But hospitality, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, that means, you know, that's a custom in the old days that I explained to you in the book of Genesis, chapter 18. That's compatible with the Passover. That's the night before, and we do it symbolically in a religious service, but we do it by providing a bathroom and services and for the strangers that's going to lodge with us and make them, and the little wife gets in there and she fixes a meal and she goes about her business, and her husband is sitting and being the host, and he's talking with his friends and everything, and that's the way it should be. It's warm and hospitable, and it's wonderful. You just feel that love. Well, I just love to go and visit people where I really feel the sincere warmth. But every time I get in the Bible, I usually have people fighting. Because usually when I go on business for the King. I don't go socialize nowhere. I go because I'm a man of Yahweh. And I go and I carry my Bible and I want to convert people. And when I have an opportunity, I don't really go. I've got sisters and brothers that I've never spent one night in their house in the last 50 years. And you say, well, you ain't very hospitable. I have my family and the family of Yahweh. And so that's who I love to visit, and I love to speak, and I love to preach and teach and to do those things. And so if she's relieved the afflicted, in other words, you're sick, I mean, she's gonna wash your feet and take care of you and mend your back and whatever it takes. And she's going to do the work of a nurse in case you're afflicted. Relieve the afflicted. If she has diligently followed every good work. Ladies and gentlemen, 1 Timothy 5 and 9 will lay it right on the line for you. For a widow woman, let not a widow woman be taken under 80. She can't even have the privileges of the gospel and the support of the assembly without being over 60 years of age to be accepted as a widow. Now, if she's a widow, you're supposed to watch after. You're responsible for her. Now, Titus, chapter 2, verse 3 and 5. Let's move on down there real quickly as time is getting away from us. The aged women. Now, these are the ones that are above 60. Likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Teachers of good things. She's supposed to set an example to the younger girls or the younger women. If she's aged, she should know how to advise them. And, oh, I just love aged women. And I know several that I admire. And I know some that are not too old that I admire. Because they just know what to say. They'll take your little children aside and they'll set a good example for your little children. And it makes you feel good that they take time out of their busy lives and they help you and your children, and they make them feel like they're part of the family. See, that's what this is all about. So encourage the younger women to be sober. Listen to this now. To love their husbands. To love their children. To be discreet. To be and chase the keepers at home. At home, good, obedient to their own husbands. So, ladies and gentlemen, Titus 2, chapter 3, verse 5 would show you that the aged women are teaching the younger women and setting this example for them to love and to be discreet and to keep the home clean and in order and to be good and obedient to their own husbands, that the word of Yahweh be not blasphemed. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's very, very, very needful for that scripture to go down into your heart. And if you offend one of Yahweh's little ones, let's say that a preacher or a prophet comes to your home and you don't treat him with respect, barely will shake his hand, let alone get him a cup of water. Well, that's disrespect. That's blaspheming the word of Yahweh, because he is Yahweh's agent and he carries the word. So you better be careful. That's what Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5 is telling you. Now, look at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. And compare it with 2 Timothy 1 and 5 and the third chapter of Timothy in 15. Now, let me set the order here. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of the mother. When I call to remembrance the unfinished faith that is in thee, which dwelleth first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. This is 1 Timothy 1 through 5. And I am persuaded that is in thee also. And from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to keep thee and make thee wise unto salvation, through which the faith which is in the Messiah. And so then, by doing so, you have learned the command. Notice Paul was admonishing Eunice here, and the mother Lois here, to be keepers and teachers at the home and to keep the father's commandment. Now, you know what the father's commandment is, the first one. Here's your duty, ladies and gentlemen. This is the duty, and this itself explains Mark 12:29, which is the first commandment. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is one, and thou shalt love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, if you love Yahweh, it's for certain you're going to love your husband. If you don't love Yahweh, you ain't going to love your husband. You're going to be nagging, complaining, irritable, stressed out, running to and fro, spending more time away from home than you are in the home. You could care less what your children are doing. And that ain't a good woman. That's setting a bad example. We got plenty of them in the United States. Now, let me show you something right here as we continue in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Listen to this one now. As in all the churches of the saints, that's the congregations. Now remember, you are only commanded to go to church or the congregation to meet. You're only commanded to go 3 times a year. Now you can go as often as you please, but you're only commanded to go 3 times. That's a command. Let your women keep silence in the churches. 14:34. Let your women keep silence. Now, it didn't say silent. That means if it said silent, that'd be no sound. She couldn't even breathe. She couldn't cough. She couldn't ask for anything, for any services that the assembly provides. But it's silence. That's a muffled sound. That's a low key. She's not to be heady and high-minded. And a woman in that order is beautiful. A heady, high-minded woman that is boisterous, and she wants to be heard for her much speaking. Now, that's an ugly woman, and I say she's not holy, and she's a long way from it. And most of these churches have let their women get out of order. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. Now, if she waits and she wants to put on a show and she gets up and she asks all these questions and she's never asked her husband at home, and he's caught off guard and he don't know what in the world she's talking about, neither does she in most cases. But she just wants to be seen. Now, that's a bad deal. That's why Paul said here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, if they will learn anything. Now, talking about the women. Let them ask their husbands at home. Don't pull no surprises on them in church. If you've got a Bible question, you want to talk about doctrine, talk it to your husband. And then, if he don't know the answer, it's his job to go to his minister. He's the provider, the Word, the source of the Word, or the prophet. Let him go there and let him sit down with the teacher or the prophet or the preacher or the apostle, whatever you want to call him, whatever title you want to ascribe. And then, if there's confusion still, and she still can't understand, then she is to have a meeting with her husband and the preacher or the teacher or the apostle, whatever, and be fully persuaded in her heart that that question has been satisfied to her favor. As in all the churches, let your women keep silence. I didn't write this, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just a believer of it. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of Yahweh. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husband at home, for it's a shame, or in that case, it's improper, for a woman to speak in the church. Now, I don't mean that she can ask a question. I don't mean that she can't ask for prayer and things of this nature. But usually it's known to her husband or the head of the house. And then that way there's no confusion in the church. And it works out real good. Now, let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. And I'd like to spend what time I've got left probably in this chapter along with 1 Peter chapter 3 verses 1 through 6. Let me get that one first. So if you're keeping notes, we'll start with 1 Peter chapter 3 verses 1 through 6. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, that they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Now this is the wife's teaching at home. Let her conversation be able to bring into subjection all of the household, including herself. Wives, submit yourself to your own husband, as the husband is the head of the wife, even as the Messiah is the head of the assembly, the body, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the assembly is subject unto the Messiah, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now that's no wonder there's so many women sick and missing the mark, because they don't have this teaching to instruct them. There's a lot of good women that if they had the teaching, or a man that would stand up for the teaching and support the teaching, then the house would come in order. First of all, a man's got to be under subjection. And we're going to get into the series of what it takes to be a man before we do that. We're going to establish what a man needs in a helpmeet. And that's very important. So, let your wives be in subjection to your own husbands, and if any obey not the word, that through the word they can be won by the conversation of the wife. So it's very important for you to speak, but speak in order and speak where you need to speak. Train up your children in the way that they should go. That's your job. The husband sets the agenda for the home and is a provider, and you are to run that household well. It's your home. You are in charge of your home. You're in charge of those children. They look up to you. They came from you. They're part of you. And that's why that I always respected my mother and my daddy. I had to respect my daddy because he demanded it. There was no way around me not respecting my father. And I, as long as he lived upon the earth, I respected him. And I was the last one to lay hands on him before he died and ask Yahweh to be merciful to him. And my mother was the same way. I loved both of them dearly. I worked and provided. My mother and daddy were poor. And due to health problems, we lost a big farm. Due to my dad's health, my mom was healthy right up till she died. And she lived to a ripe old age. But my dad got sick with all the drinking and smoking and gambling and things. He lived a wicked life. But he was a good man, had a good heart. And he turned to Yahweh in the last days of his life, the last few years. However, the damage had already been done. His stomach lining was full of cancer. And he died. It was a horrible death. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, we are commanded to love them and to support them. Honor your mother and father that your days may be long upon the earth. Now, listen to me. Whose adorning, let it be that of the outward. Whose adorning, talking about the woman, that is winning through the conversation and submitting herself in subjection to her own husband. Whose adorning of plaiting, whose adorning, let it not be that of the outward adorning. A plaiting of the hair and a wearing of gold, you know, weaving gold braids in your hair and making it all sparkle and shiny. And, you know, all this makeup, this silly makeup that, you know, some women would look much better if they just wash their face and clean their face up and look holy. I'm not against putting a little paint on the old barn. Sometimes it helps. But there is a limit to how much makeup you need to wear. I've seen some with rosy red lips, and their eyeshadow would... I mean, what's paint on top of the eyelid got to do with it? I mean, I never could understand that. Just looks like some of them paint green and red and blue and purple. And I mean, they spike their hair in red and orange, and these young, modern generation of children and young women in particular. You wonder where it's coming from. They haven't had the experience of growing up in a home full of love of Yahweh. And that's for sure. Let it be, but don't put on apparel to dress up to impress. But let it be the hidden man of the heart that you want to look beauty and beautiful for. In that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of Yahweh of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in Yahweh adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husband, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him master. Genesis 18:12, where I told you before. whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement at what goes on around you, irregardless of how other people do and other women behave themselves. You owe it to you and your household and your husband in particular that you could provide, if you will, a place of contentment, a place of holiness, and a place of blessing before Yahweh is not to be mocked. And Yahweh will not be deceived. You can't deceive Yahweh. Now let's go to Ephesians. If we get into the book of Ephesians, and we're going to go over to the 5th chapter of the book of Ephesians, and we're going to go there for the express purpose of closing this segment of our teaching out tonight as we talk about the rules and regulations of a woman and her place in the body of the Messiah. Now, it talks about those in verse 6, 5 and 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the fruit of the Spirit is what we want, the fruit of the Spirit. That's basically what we are asking for, is the fruit of the Spirit. Let's jump down now to verse 21. Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of Yahweh. Now, remember what I said. Yahweh has created you and made you one in Him. The husband and wife is not two. They're one. And with everything in order, Yahweh being the head, and if they have offspring, that's the four aspects of earth, air, wind, and fire, compared to the four aspects of His name, the Yod, He, Vav, He. These are the things that are instrumental in building you a foundation of perfection, that you may be fully furnished to every good work. Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto Yahweh. Now listen to that real carefully. When you submit yourself to your husband, as you would submit yourself to Yahweh, if you won't submit yourself to your husband, you're not going to submit yourself to Yahweh. He's not going to hear you. You're out of joint. And your prayers will eventually, if you continue on, they will eventually become an abomination. And then when the wrath of Yahweh, and the wrath will come, after you receive instruction, for it would be better for you not to receive instruction than to receive it and then rebel from it. Because the spirit of rebellion is in the land today, and we're going to prove it to you. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as the Messiah is the head of the assembly. And He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is for the body, for the assembly, is subject unto the Messiah, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave. Now, that's something right there, that a man, that's one of the things that has the characteristic of a man. If he loves his wife as Christ loved him, or the church, the body, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water, repentance and baptism, in the name of Yahweh by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies, and he that loveth his wife loveth himself.
For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as Yahweh the church. For we are all members of his body, of his flesh and his bone. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall too be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning the assembly. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that it's for sure that you can't get to heaven without loving Yahweh and keeping his commandments. Did you know that those who know and those who understand are going to obey him? And those who do not understand him are going to rebel against him. And like I said, rebellion is as sin, it's the sin of witchcraft. So Paul says, I praise you in everything for holding to the teachings just as I pass them on to you. Now you sisters are wondering whether you have to uncover or cut your holy hair like I did, because he shaved his head in Caesarea having a vow. When you take a vow, if you live in your father's house, your father should hear your vows. And if you are married, your husband should hear your vows. If a woman uncovers her head, like cutting off her hair, like a man does, she is cutting off her sign of authority, thus dishonoring her head, which would be her father or her husband. For a woman's long hair is her glory. Long hair is given to her as a covering. Now, if anyone wants to be contentious, uncovering head, insisting that she cuts off her holy hair, when she takes vows, we have no such practice, nor do the assemblies that we have here before us. So, ladies and gentlemen, your role as a woman is the role of authority, the role of the Spirit taking its place within your body and within your mind and within your heart and within your soul. So then, keep these things until you know that Yahweh will bless you and give you a spirit of understanding that you may know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But notice, in a few minutes that I've got left here, and well, I don't have any time left, so I've got to close out right now. And I'd like to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, tonight that Yahweh is a strong tower. And the Bible says that the righteous will run into it and they're safe. So if you want to know the truth, study the Word and obey it. For the benefit and the glory of Yahweh rest upon your head and upon your shoulders and upon your household. I love you tonight with all of my heart. Yahweh bless you. I'll see you next time on Wednesday night. We'll be in here at 10 o'clock Wednesday night, live on WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel, as we are also simulcasting live on the internet tonight. Yahweh bless you. Now, if you'd like to call me, area code 423-626-2172, or you can go to our website. That's oneyahweh.com, and you'll see some of these things that we're talking about posted on the website, along with all of our messages that we've done this year live on the sermons, under sermons. Just click on sermons, and you'll find it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, write me, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824, and I'll see ya. Yahweh bless ya.